Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, happy Friday, everybody. Sorry for the delay. Thank you for tuning in to Conservative Nation Radio. This is NWCR Radio co-host Lucid Libertarian Lorianne. Our host Robert is delayed for about a half an hour, so I am kicking off the show in his absence, and we will await for him to join us in about a half an hour or so. And I'm trying to figure out some of the promos that he does, but everything is muted or, you know, volume turned down. So I'm trying to figure out the intros that he usually plays. So hang on just a moment while I figure this out. Usually, like, he has the volume turned down on all of the stuff that he doesn't normally play and keeps, you know, the volume so visually I can see it. And so I am just trying to flip around here as we get ready. I see Mike in the chat room. Hey there, Mike. Hopefully people make their way here pretty soon. So I am going to, and sorry, I had my TV going on as well. So I am going to try and figure out what's what here so that, and I think he changed some stuff since the last time we were in. So I apologize for this delay. Hopefully he will join us pretty soon. He was just out and about apparently. And so I'm just going to kind of wing it. And we'll see what happens here.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. By Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
All right. Hello, hello again, everybody. I see some people coming in on the chat room. Joe Gibson's in the chat room. Boyd the Alaskan, Mike, all of you. Thank you for making your way here. And again, Robert is going to be delayed for about a half an hour or so. So he'll join us as soon as he is back home and able to call on in. So if you're out there and you're listening, feel free to call in 646-478-5284 and then press lucky number 1 to raise your hand and switchboard to let me know you'd like me to bring you on. I think I figured out the ads and stuff to play. I figured out which one was his new one. Then, of course, Black by Color only, and then my show as well. So fumbling around a little bit, so please excuse. I don't know if he had anything in particular planned for tonight as far as topics of discussion go. So it's open format. So if you're out there, call in. Keep me company until Robert's able to arrive on the scene. Again, 646-478-5284. And just looking at the news, it looks like there's some progress with the Israel-Hamas stuff. Israel is agreeing to have pauses in their bombing campaigns and things to allow civilians to get out. So I think that's some progress, and it looks like I think we have, let me see who it is that's raising their hand in the queue. It looks like we got Mike raising his hand in the queue. Awesome. So let me go ahead and bring Mike on in. Hello, hello. Happy Friday.
Hello, Lorianne.
Hey there.
Hey. You know, I tend not to want to watch those doggone Republican debates, but I have a feeling I missed a good one because I've seen the clips of what Ramaswamy did in the last debate. And he took it to them, particularly he took it to basically Rona McDaniel at one point because he spoke truth to power because he talked to people, he talked about how basically she's been cutting off people from getting elected. You know, and what he basically said was that President Trump would, of course, do these endorsements, right, which I don't know if they mean anything or not, but he would do these endorsements for certain guys, and generally when he did the endorsements and they got the money, those guys would win, right? If he would endorse, say, Lori Ann, you know, in Oregon for a House seat, wherever, in Salem, Oregon, in that House seat up there, and you were down in the polls would possibly flip, and you would be up in the polls, and by that time, you should be getting the money. Well, the problem is that money would likely never come from the RNC, you know, because Rona McDaniel would sit there, and she's as establishment gets, and she hates Trump. Anytime Trump, you know, would do this, she wouldn't send the money to the guy he endorsed. Thereby, basically, that guy would lose the election to whomever, and that's how come a lot of these guys. That's how come we don't have a bigger majority. That's how come there's not a bigger Republican majority in the House than we thought there'd be. Is because she cut off money from the people because she hates Trump. You know, Lorianne?
Yeah. You know, I missed the first hour of it, of the GOP debate, and I still intend to go watch what I missed. And it seems like the first hour is like the part that I needed to watch the most. You know, I am actually uploading a clip of the debate of Vivek attacking the debate hosts. Hang on, at GOP 3 debate. I'm uploading it right now. I thought I would play it because I saw little snippets of it in, like, some of the recaps. And hang on just a second. Sorry for me fumbling around. I didn't plan on starting the show. It's kind of last minute. It was about, like, it was about 3 minutes before the show was going to kick off, and I was like, I guess I better start the show, and then Robert hit me up on Messenger saying, hey, he's running late, and so I'm kind of, you know, fumbling a little bit, but it also shows how it pays to have a co-host. So let me, I'm refreshing the studio here. And, but I do intend, I'll probably watch it tonight after the show, the first hour that I missed of the GOP debate. I think that definitely would be worth watching.
The other big zinger that he threw out was, he said, and you got to understand where this is coming from. I'll explain it to you. He said, we don't want Dick Cheney in heels. That was directed at two people.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was
a good one.
That was directed at two people. Though.
Yeah, he was talking about Nikki Haley. That was comical too.
But it was also
he and Nikki Haley do not get along at all. All right, I have this clip ready to go. I'm going to play it real quick.
Go ahead.
All right, cool. Stay tuned, and anybody else out there, call in. Keep me company. I know we got people in the chat, but go ahead and call in 646-478-5284. And this is a short clip of Vivek Ramaswamy attacking the debate host at the GOP debate on Tuesday. Here we go.
Think about who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. Do you think the Democrats, and we've got Kristen Welker here, do you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Chris, I'm going to use this time because it's actually about you and the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years, was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go. Mr. Rothbard. Because this media rigged the 2016 election. They rigged the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
and they're going to rig this election.
Your time is up.
Accountability.
Let me turn to Governor Christie. Why are you... Audience, let's not do this.
So look, strategically, it makes a lot of sense for him to do that because everyone who has any chance of voting for him already despises the media. They have somehow convinced themselves that Kristen Welker and Lester Holt are rabid left wingers. That doesn't make sense to me. And we need accountability. We can't, you know, have these debates being moderated by people who make big mistakes. We need people with an unimpeachable track record when it comes to the news, like Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. They would never make a big consequential mistake or spread misinformation willingly over and over and over again for their own financial advantage. Anyway, look, again, None of the people who might vote for him are going to think about how utterly ridiculous that premise is. And the moderators, by the way, were not ready to be attacked. Kristen Welker just sort of grinned through it, had no response to that. I don't know what she could have said, but what did you guys make of that?
Yeah, this is the thing. This is what Vivek does. And it goes with that moment and maybe the previous ones, maybe some other debates. Vivek creates these moments that you remember for that moment. And once that moment has passed, once he's done insulting or someone gets into a fight with him and go, oh, man, someone's fighting, Vivek's getting into it, and he's going really fast. Afterwards, when you stop and think about what he said and whatever else.
All right, yeah, we don't have to listen to the commentary after that. But that was, I think, a really good call out on Vivek's part. You know, you have three very liberal moderators of a Republican debate. That didn't seem to make much sense to me at all. And
no, Hugh Hewitt,
he was totally right on.
Hugh Hewitt is not a liberal. He may be another Trumper, but he's not a liberal. He's a conservative. It's Hugh Hewitt. Two of the three were. Of course, you could basically take those people, take Kristen Welker and put her in what's her name spot that did the town hall on CNN a few weeks back, about a month or so back, you know, and so these liberal people. They're not going to like him because basically he's doing what Trump would do. Now, there are problems with him. There are problems with Ramaswamy, chief of which is that he's somehow, when he was in college, when he was in grad school, he accepted money from George Soros's brother, but and a lot of people think, well, he's basically Barack Obama. He's an empty suit, all right? But if he's sitting there calling out the media like that, I like him. I mean, I don't like him to be the vice president, but I like him possibly for, you know, maybe 2028, whatever, you know, after Trump maybe gets back in there and does his deal. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think, you know, he is the youngest Republican, and, you know, he probably has some, you know, growing up to do, I think, before, you know, filling the seat of president probably a little bit. I agree with you. You know, but yet, you know, he definitely, I think, is trying to vie for, you know, Trump to choose him as a nominee. And I did upload another quick quip from the debate Vivek Ramaswamy responds to Nikki Haley calling him scum. So yeah, it got really fun apparently. So I'm going to play this one real quick too. And then, you know, if it gets into news commentary, then I'll cut it short. But here we go.
You know, Vivek Ramaswamy is with us now. Vivek, you said Republicans lost in 2018, 2020, 2022, and 2023 under Ronna McDaniel, and you named her. But Trump was the leader of the party through those elections. Doesn't he share some responsibility for the losses?
Not in 2022 or 2023, Stuart. I think we've gotten into the bad habit of somehow pinning the tail on one man, that's Donald Trump, and I think that there's a deeper issue. The Republican Party, we need to define who we are and what we actually stand for. Is this the Republican Party of 2002, Dick Cheney and George Bush's Republican Party, which was well represented on that debate stage last night, fighting foreign wars on the other side of the world without taking care of American interests here at home? Or are we a party of the next generation that actually looks after protecting Americans in our own homeland? I have a different view. I'm from a different generation. My view is that the moral obligation of the U.S. president is exclusively to U.S. citizens here at home. I don't think that view should be controversial, but I think it's a controversial view on that debate stage and in today's Republican Party. But I think we have to define who we are and what we stand for. Once we do that, we're going to be successful. And yes, there needs to be accountability. We can't have five elections we lose without a change in leadership.
You called out Nikki Haley's daughter for using TikTok. She then called you scum. Why did you go after her family and her clothing? No woman's going to like that.
I'm going to tell you, she called me four-letter words in each of the last two debates, Stuart. The reality is this. The Republican Party has appropriately, I think, had scrutiny of Hunter Biden for years. I mean, you know, not only the media, but even Republican politicians correctly. In the last debate, she's actually saying that she said, I feel dumber every time I hear you speak. That's what she said, for using TikTok. The criticism wasn't of Nikki Haley's daughter. It was of Nikki Haley for having been completely oblivious to where the next generation of Americans is actually getting their information. So my view is that we do better by showing up. Nikki Haley wants to go the way of censorship. I want to go the way of free speech. She wants to go the way of withdrawing from talking to young people. My point is, young people, even in your own family or on that next generation platform, we need to talk to them directly.
Okay.
She's on the other side, Nikki, is of this generational divide, and that's what I was pointing out.
Vivek, let me get this one in. Your home state, Ohio, voted to put abortion protection into the state's constitution. Now, abortions have become, I think, a winning issue for Democrats. Spell out your position on abortion clearly, please.
My position is the Republican Party needs to offer a clear alternative. That's why we lost in my home state of Ohio. The left put up a constitutional amendment. Conservatives did not have an alternative, so people voted for what the left put up. Here's what we need to do. Codify greater protections that we stand for as pro-life conservatives for access to contraception, adoption, child care. And here's the big one that I talk about that no one's talking about in this race in either party. Greater responsibility for men. Put it in the law that if you're a man who has actually been genetically confirmed with a paternity test, you have greater responsibilities than exist in the law right now. Okay. That way we say it's not about men's rights versus women's rights. It's about human rights. I am sick and tired, Stuart, of losing on this issue. I think the old Republican establishment has led us astray with old talking points. Mm-hmm. I'm injecting those fresh views, and in my experience with voters, that will be a winning formula.
Vivek Ramaswamy, I'd like to talk to you all day, but I'm afraid we're absolutely out of time. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
All right. I thought that was actually part of the debate, but that was an interview with him afterwards. This next one should actually be like a back and forth between him and Nikki Haley at the actual debate. And so I'm going to, you know, it's a pretty short one as well, so I'm going to kick this one off as well. Let's see. Hopefully this one is actually of the debate, but it doesn't look like it's an interview. It looks like it's actually from the debate. So here we go. What the heck? What's going on? Weird. I have the video right up, and Lovecock didn't want to play it. I'm going to refresh and try it again. Weirdness. This one should be like the Dick Cheney comments. And I went to play it, and it just was silent. So let me try it again. Weird. Okay.
Weird.
It shows that it's playing on the switchboard, but it's totally silent. I got the volume turned up. Let me try. I'm going to try it again. But go ahead and talk while I give it another go here.
Okay, so I think he's right on that. And I think the one you're talking about is the exchange he had with Nikki Haley about being on TikTok. All right. Interesting
yeah.
in and of itself because he's right. You've got to, if you want to go get the kids, you got to go where the kids are. And the kids aren't on Twitter or Facebook. They're on TikTok. You know? They just are. You can't force them to be where they don't want to be. You got to go where they are. I mean, sometimes you got to get in bed with the devil to get stuff done, you know, and this is TikTok is, of course, Chinese, I don't know, spyware or whatever the fuck it's called, but, you know. Yeah, he's right.
Are you there?
A lot of...
Oh, you faded out there for a second. I thought I might have lost you.
Yeah, well, I got quiet a little bit because, I was kind of, whatever. But, yeah, he's right. A lot of the stuff he said, not only was it calling out friggin' what's her name, but doggone it. But calling people out, but actually it helps out if you're right. And he was right on this. And a lot of the stuff he said he was right on. And when he talked about what I was going to say, when he talked about what's her name, Dick Cheney and heels, he wasn't just referring to friggin' what's her name? Nikki Haley. He was referring to Ron DeSantis. Because Ron DeSantis wears high-heeled, either high-heeled or lifts in his cowboy boots. You know?
Make him look taller.
Yeah.
Make him look taller. Okay. Let's give this clip another go. I re-downloaded it and re-uploaded it. And so I'm going to see if this actually works this time. Cross our fingers. Weird. It really does not want to play that clip. It's so weird. It really doesn't want to play it. It does not like it. Okay, then. Block Talk is
oh,
death.
Boy. Oh, boy.
I'm going to try it. I want to see if the same thing happens on my end. I'll mute my phone, but if I play the audio on my computer, if it actually works or not.
Gosh darn it.
Weird. Yeah, it plays on my end. Well, when I play the audio file on my computer, it works fine, but apparently Blog Talk doesn't like to upload. So is that another bug in the system? Does Blog Talk want to play classical music again instead of an audio clip?
Well, I mean, it could be that just that one clip. Because remember, you played the other clip earlier.
Yeah, I don't know what it doesn't like about it. Let me take out. There are some special characters in the file name, so let me take those out. Maybe that's what's hosing it up, is the system doesn't like the special characters or something in the title of the file. Again. Because I've had that happen, too, where sometimes if the file name has some weird characters in it, then the system doesn't like it. I'm refreshing. Oh, looks like Robert has arrived as well and raising his hand. So go ahead and unmute him. Our host has arrived.
Okay, Lorianne. I think I found the clip you want. I'm gonna try and play it, but it's gonna come through my phone, through my computer. But I think I found it. It's a combination of clips, but
yeah, I'm gonna give
it
another go since I did just upload it. I did just upload it on my end, so hold off for just a second, because I, you know, modified the file name and stuff. I want to see if it works this time. And welcome to your show, Robert. We're just playing around with trying to get this audio clip to play. so let me see if a third time is the charm here. Apparently not. It does not like that clip. Okay. The system does not want to play the exchange between Vivek and Nikki Haley at the GOP debate.
Okay.
Going back, they're back and forth.
Let's try it my way and see if it works. All right.
Okay.
So I'm gonna press
all right.
Play.
Debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
The next generation of Americans are YouTube. And that's actually the point. You ever sort of wrapping her up. That's fine. Here's the truth.
Here's
the easy answer is actually to say that we're just going to ban one app. We got to go further. Do you want a leader from a different generation who's going to put this country first? Or do you want Dick Cheney and 3-inch heels?
Yes, I'd first like to say there's 5-inch heels, and I don't wear them unless you can run in them.
There you go. That was it.
Yeah,
that was
at least
cool.
that was better than the garbly silence that is Blog Talk Radio trying to play the clip that I uploaded three different times. That's so weird. The other clips played fine. Anyway, so welcome to your show, Robert.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I had to go and pick up my wife from work because she locked her keys in the car, so I'm the only one that could have gotten in, so I had to go down there. And then she says, I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat. And I forgot about the show.
Priorities. The mention
Priorities,
of food,
yeah.
And getting food in your tummy, it gave you a brain fart.
Yeah, pretty much. I found an article. that I was going to try and start the show with tonight. And this is actually hilarious. But the headline on it was CNN warns how Halloween decorations threaten Earth's future.
What?
I knew I'd get a response out of that.
Says, what?
A new report from CNN is explaining how the lowly pumpkin, Halloween pumpkin turned jack-o'-lanterns, is a major threat to the future of the world. And don't even think about the methane gas they produce when those landfills, in those landfills causing global warming. The report claims that it is a major threat to water supplies because jack-o'-lanterns grow with water. And when those water-containing pumpkins are put in a landfill, we never get it back.
Oh, my
God.
So it's
a threat, it's a threat to the world.
Good gracious. Oh.
But, of course, let's not forget, like, you know, if you use a real pumpkin and, you know, you carve out the guts, don't throw it away. You know, put it, like, out in your yard for the birds and squirrels and stuff to eat. Same
yep.
thing when you're done with it. You know, animals will eat off of it. And it's very high in nutrients and stuff like that. So, I mean, but because, you know, are they going to say the same thing about, okay, like 4th of July celebrations with watermelons?
Oh.
I mean, I'm pretty sure
I
watermelon uses a lot more water than pumpkins do.
I got it. But it says here the report explains how those innocuous Halloween pumpkins could be an environmental nightmare. After all, more than 1 billion pounds are grown each year and millions end up in landfills. Pumpkins are about 90% water, and when that water gets trapped in the landfill, we never get it back, the report warns. They'll decompose and produce methane gas, a greenhouse gas that compared to carbon dioxide, warms the atmosphere the same extent in a shorter amount of time. That's a big cause of climate change.
Oh, my God.
Only CNN can do that.
This
oh
is the same thing.
You know, of course, that water can't evaporate. That water is just trapped forever in
it's
the landfill. It can't
forever.
Evaporate and go back up into the atmosphere. No, no, no.
This is the same.
And,
this is the
and
same.
Of course.
Go ahead.
And of course, when they brought that up, nobody called up and said, "Hey, now wait a minute, that's just wrong." I don't know. I just had to say that because to me it was hilarious, but it's scary too that they can get away with that and nobody bashes them up against the wall and tells them, "Hey, you guys are wrong." Oh, well.
Well, here's the deal. Going back to that freaking CNN town hall meeting with Trump, where what's her name was basically he put her through the wall, because basically what they set that whole debate up the wrong way. They asked questions. They didn't ask questions. It was supposed to be a Republican debate. So you would think that they would ask questions about things that Republican voters would care about. They didn't.
Right.
They
I just
asked
brought
things.
In Boyd into the conversation. Boyd, you're unmuted. Sorry to interrupt you, Mike.
They asked things that, you know, they ask about things only Democrats care about, things like E. Jean Carroll, Stormy Daniels, all these damn things that election things and all that stuff, all these things that Republicans don't want to talk about, don't care to talk about. And it's like, why would you set yourself up? Why would you set your moderator up or in that thing to be put through a wall. You know,
yep.
That's how that thing was set up. They set that thing up to put her through that wall, and Trump put her through that wall. You know, I mean, they tried to call him on what he said on January 6th. He took a piece of paper out of his pocket that had a timeline on it from his Twitter feed, and he read from it. All right, he fact checked her on that, and they tried to get him on the E. Jean Carroll shit, and E. Jean Carroll is just a wacky, kooky lady, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
She not only does she think rape is a good thing, she tried to hit on frickin' Anderson Cooper. She tried to hit on a gay guy. So,
yep.
So that's how kooky this lady is. I mean, it's like, why would you set this woman up that way to be hit over and over and over again? You know, not really, but you get my point. Rhetorically hit over and over and over again with haymaker after haymaker and not be able to defend herself. That's what they did by asking her to ask those questions to that guy in that way. It was a setup, and it was a perfect storm for Trump. Trump did really well in that thing. And Trump,
yep.
the more these damn things that they have that Trump doesn't go to, the better he's going to do for not going to them. You know, he doesn't need to go there. These things are just for second place. That's all they are. These are debates.
Yep. Absolutely. So
by the way, hi, boys.
I found there was another thing that I found that I was looking for it now, but it kind of looks like the Republicans are finally starting to fight back. Remember how the Democrats were going after Clarence Thomas?
Thomas. Yep.
Yeah. Well, they've dropped that investigation because the Republicans threatened to investigate George Soros and his son Alex if they didn't. So they dropped.
If they're gonna do that,
they need to do that investigation anyway.
Absolutely.
if they're gonna go after these judges that way, then fine. All right, fine. We're gonna go after Chutkan, the judge that's sitting in this case, in the Jack Smith case. So we're gonna go after what's his fate, the judge in Atlanta, or the judge in Colorado,
okay.
Or the judge is in New York, you know.
Yeah.
All three of them, you know, they're all crooked and they all got things wrong with them. So yeah, if they're gonna try and reverse pack the court, and what I mean by that is go after the conservative justice to get the conservative justices to get them off the court. Go after their justices. You know,
yep.
Go after their federal court judges. They're setting the rules.
And they have been for years.
Yep.
But the thing that caught my attention was that because of them going after George Soros and his son Alex, they dropped their investigation on Thomas. I thought that was pretty awesome. So, you know, and they got to learn from this. They, you know, if the Democrats are going to drop an investigation because of that, keep doing it. You know, go after them in every way they possibly can.
They've been threatening to cut the funding to Jack Smith.
Oh, they need to.
They need to cut the funding to Jack Smith. They need to cut the funding to the DOJ. They need to, if this is a federal judge in Colorado that's going after him, they need to go after her or
yep.
him. The federal judge that's going after him in New York over this crappy case with Mar-a-Lago, they need to go after that judge. You know, all these
they
judges,
need to go. Yeah, they need to go after every damn one of them. That's for sure.
Hell, I know. I know these are DAs. These two people are either DAs or AG for the state, but they need to go after Fannie Willis, and they need to go after fucking what's her name, Letitia James.
Yep.
Oh, every goddamn one. Now we're saying Elise Stefanik, who's a representative who's in Congress from upstate New York, going after this judge in this Mar-a-Lago case.
Yep.
On ethics charges.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, the Republicans have got to stop laying down and taking their licks like they are. They need to stand up and fight back, because it's getting, you know, and at least they're starting. It looks like they're starting to fight back, which is cool.
Yep. I think we have Mark with us, don't we?
Sounds like Lorianne went to sleep.
Lorianne, wake up.
No, I'm not sleeping. I'm just kind of listening and toggling, and my cat is meowing in the hallway, and so I'd stay muted so that everybody isn't listening to him meow.
I wasn't hearing nothing.
Which, speaking of cats, I got to say, my other cat, Groot, today is his 5-year adoption day / celebrated birthday. So my
Yay.
Big belly Groot boy, 5 years since I got him. So he has to get some special treats tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the reasons why everything kind of went to hell in a handbasket here today is very first thing we found out was the car that was parked 2 down from me this morning was stolen.
Ooh.
And nobody seems to have found out what happened, when it happened, or anything else. And I'm usually out there early in the morning. I didn't see anything. So it, and it's, you know, the thing that really is sad about that kind of thing is that the people who live in this apartment complex, this is a senior living home. And the people who live here, a lot of them are much older than me, including the lady who had her car stolen this morning. You know, they just don't have the money to just say, okay, well, my car was stolen, I'll just go and buy a new one. They can't do that. So these And then when she called the cops, it was like, oh, we'll be there in 3 hours, and I don't think they ever showed up. So I don't know if they did or not, but it's been a weird day here. And then after I had dinner offered, I kind of forgot about the show for a few minutes.
It happens.
Blame it on old yeah. man. Blame it on old man dream or brain.
Brain, yeah. No. So I was kind of glad that I thought I was looking at the time, and I thought, well, shoot, I'm supposed to be there doing my show in about 8 minutes. So I messaged Lorianne, and she messaged me back and says, I thought something was going on. You're usually there. So.
Aren't you glad you have a co-host?
Oh, absolutely. I sure am. And I can't get into the chat room now.
I was fumbling around a bit. I was like, because, like, your audio, like, your promos, everything was muted. Almost everything on the switch on your audio clips were, the volume was all turned down. So I was like, which ones do I play? Because that's usually always, like, the ones that you have the volume turned up on, you know? Those are the ones that kind of visually and, like, okay, these are the ones that he plays. And so I was kind of fumbling around a little bit trying to figure out which ones to do.
I usually line them up in the way that I want them to go, and then I turn up the volume on the ones that I'm going to use, and then once I've played them, I turn the volume off, and that way I know not to play it again because it's already been played. So that's why the volume was shut off on them, because I turn them off. I shut the volume down after I've played it, and that way I don't accidentally go back to it and play it again. And I just didn't even have time to get in here
today.
Well,
that
today,
makes
so
sense.
Yeah. So, because usually I'll have...
You learn something new every day, don't you, Lorianne, from an old guy?
I do. There's methods to his madness, and I'm just still learning, those methods.
To be used on your show at a later date.
Lorianne, I tend to, I don't blame it on anybody. I blame it on the rain.
Well, it snowed here this morning.
Wow.
And we definitely have that here in Oregon. Oh, we got rain here.
We got snow down there, huh? Yeah, we didn't expect it because day before yesterday it was 76 degrees here. So it was like, okay. And then all of a sudden I woke up this morning and these huge snowflakes that could have been snowballs all by themselves were coming down. And it's like, wow. It didn't snow enough to stick anywhere except for on the cars. But oh well.
I got over 26 inches in the last day and a half.
Oh boy!
So there.
Yeah.
No.
You got me beat. I think they had.
I remember living in Minnesota. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
I know that in Minnesota when it would snow, like I wore my sunglasses more during the winter than I did during the summer. Because of the snow glare.
Yeah, that snow glare is bad, especially when the sun is out. Yeah, I grew up in the mountains of Colorado, and once it snowed there, it was white all winter long, and the sun was always shining, but it was always so cold, you didn't feel any warmth out of that sun, so it was just... So I'm surprised my eyes are not totally blown away by now because I'd walk to school in that bright sunlight with the snow and no problem.
Right.
But
yeah, snow blindness is a thing.
Yeah, it is. Then on the 13th, no wait, the 14th, I go in for surgery on my left eye, so I'm getting it fixed now. So, yay, I'll have two good eyes again.
Yeah, just don't watch, I believe it's Final Destination 5, I think it is. Don't watch that before your surgery, just a fair warning.
Now you got me.
It'll freak you out.
Now you got
me
interested.
Yeah, if you want to scare yourself, you can find the clip on YouTube. Just type in, Final Destination eye surgery scene, and you'll find it.
don't watch Kill Bill. Volume 2 where she reaches in his eye and just picks it out.
Yep. I saw that one.
Oh, yeah. That's another good one. There's another movie, I think it's called I, you know, just, you know, E-Y-E-I. I think Jessica Alba, I think, was in it. And that's a pretty creepy movie not to watch before you're going to have eye surgery either.
Oh,
now I know.
Let's see.
Not
so cool. I'm looking.
Now everybody's Googling it. Yeah. Final Destination, eye surgery.
Oh boy. Did you hear how Dershowitz went off on Obama over Israel comments? He said, I'm ashamed that I was your friend. That's awesome.
No, I didn't. I know that Obama, you know, made some comments, but I didn't really pay much attention to it because I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to Obama these days. So that's par for the course.
Yeah, he said that, said on his podcast on Wednesday, he called former President Barack Obama an enemy of the Jewish people.
Well, this is the same guy that sent a top lieutenant over to try and get a political enemy of Netanyahu elected back 10 years ago, whatever it was, you know. And it's like, yeah, he hates Israel, particularly he hates Netanyahu.
Yeah, he says, he told Obama, he says, I'm ashamed I was your friend. I'm ashamed I invited you to my birthday party. I'm ashamed that I accepted your invitation to the Oval Office. I'm ashamed that I allowed you to fool me into thinking that you were that you actually supported Israel. You do not. So, I've been finding all kinds of neat things today, but... I even found me a gun cabinet that I want to buy. And it holds a nine millimeter the pistol. And what it looks like when it's closed, it looks like a little shelf that's really finely finished wood that sits on the wall, and there's a little button on the side. You push it, and the bottom drops down, and there's the gun. Now, I think I'm going to get me one of those.
Nice. Yeah, I always eyed, like, you know, the fireplace mantles, you know, where the bottom comes down.
Yeah.
One of those ones. Those were pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's one that's a headboard for over your bed, and you pop it.
Ooh.
And down drop the shotgun.
Cool. Oh, now that'd be nice.
Oh, nice.
Get a couple.
Yeah, I like
for
those
patio.
Kind of sneaky ones. You know that you can't tell that they're gun safe, but they are. You know.
Yeah,
those are
pretty
cool. Well,
this one, when it's closed, it looks like a finely polished piece of wood that for a shelf is what it looks like. A really fine-looking piece of wood that's a shelf that hangs on the wall. And it's got a lock on it, and when you push on that lock, the bottom of it drops open, and there's the gun. But it looks just like a regular old shelf on the wall. It's pretty cool. $99.
Yeah, but I think worth it, you know, because nobody's going to, it's not eye candy for somebody to steal, but yet something accessible, you know, especially something that's quick. Like some of them get sophisticated too, like they have like fingerprint readers, you know, so it'll you know, so you just slip your hand under there, fingerprint, read it, and then it opens up and you can grab it kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, this one says it takes half a second or less to open. And so And I'm thinking about getting myself one of those. And my wife's got a long gun that her dad made, and it's hanging on the wall in the living room. I'd like to get that put in a case sometime too, because that's a sharp looking gun. But it's one of those. It's one of a kind, because my grandfather, you know, my wife's dad made that. So it's you know, there's no other gun in the world like it. So that'd be something to keep safe and away so that it doesn't get all weathered and everything. But I think it shoots balls or something like that.
What caliber?
I don't know. I really don't know. Because I think she said it's one of those ones that you stick a musket ball down with a wad of you know, some gunpowder back there, and then a wad of paper in front of it, and then when you cock it, there's a flint thing there. So it's an old style thing. Not sure what caliber it is or anything, but I don't even know if it's got rifling in the barrel. So it was something he made a long time ago, so, and she's got it now, so I think that's, it behoove us to keep that thing in a container that would keep it safe from the elements.
Oh,
that good, huh?
Yeah.
This is weird. Here's news of the weird from in the Oregonian that I just saw here in Oregon. Off-duty pilot accused of trying to crash Horizon plane over Oregon says he thought he was dreaming or dead. Is this real? Joseph Emerson kept asking. While being held in a detention room at Portland International Airport, the Alaska Airlines pilot said he stripped off his clothes and urinated on himself, hoping that would wake him up. It didn't work. He was already awake. Earlier in the day on October 22nd, while off duty and flying in the cockpit jump seat of a Horizon Air flight from Washington State to San Francisco, Emerson had attempted to shut down the plane's engines. The crew managed to stop him, declaring an emergency and redirected the plane to Portland, where police arrested Emerson. And Emerson is now opening up about his state of mind when he was in the cockpit jump seat and how it led him to facing 83 counts of attempted murder in Oregon State Court. Emerson was returning that October day from a gathering to honor a close friend who had died unexpectedly 5 years ago. In an interview, he appeared to blame his actions aboard the plane on the lingering effects of taking psychedelic mushrooms at the gathering.
Oh,
Emerson became paranoid. Convinced his friends were making fun of him, and he felt fearful of them. But then he became concerned that what he was experiencing wasn't real, that he was dreaming. He found himself reliving the most traumatic, shameful moments of his life. So what shameful, traumatic moments of his life would lead him to unzip his, strip off his clothes and piss on himself? That's what I'm wondering.
Maybe he was choking on some mushrooms or something.
Man,
yeah, that's
that
what
reminds
he did.
Me.
He, at that gathering, he took some mushrooms, so he's tripping on shrooms.
Man, that sounds like that movie Soul Plane when Snoop Dogg was the other pilot brought on some mushrooms. He flat out ate them. Snoop Dogg ate them. And it's like, okay, I see where this is going. You know, this this guy, wow. I mean, state of mind. I mean, thing is, should this guy even be allowed near a plane again?
Oh, he won't
I
be.
Wow.
He's done flying.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, I think his career as a pilot is over. Yeah, I just don't see anybody letting him back up in the air again.
I don't know.
Only in Oregon. Like, if you want to find news of the completely insane and dumb, just look at the Oregonian website, OregonLive.com, and you'll find something, you know, because, you know, this is Oregon.
Yep. Yeah, I think it was that way when I lived up there.
Isn't that, what was the name of that goddamn guy that was that robbed the bank or something? D.B. Sweeney, whatever his name was, at the time that he robbed the bank, and then he goes off and he jumps out of an airplane in the forest of Oregon, and nobody ever found him.
He didn't
rob a bank. He hijacked the airplane.
Oh, he hijacked the airplane.
And he paid
okay.
him.
Yeah, there's so much in the news these days that is actually almost comical, and things that you would never think would have happened a few years ago, but they're all over the place anymore.
Yeah, well, that's just because of the internet.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
I mean, back in the days when we were growing up, we didn't get all this bullshit because they didn't have fast communications, and they weren't going to waste what they had on bullshit.
Yeah, and then we had better things to do than to sit on a computer and look at all the crazy stuff happening. We were out there playing football and things like that.
Yeah. And basically, if it didn't, there was a bunch of crazy stuff that happened, but if it didn't make the 5 o'clock news or the 5:30 news or whatever, it wasn't news. If Walter Cronkite or whomever, Peter Jennings or whomever, didn't report it, it never got reported. If it didn't appear in the New York Times, it didn't get reported.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. It was very limited as to what you actually really heard. And if they didn't report it, you just didn't hear about it.
Well, that changed. Basically, it started to change with, it's no longer that way with the drudge report, but where it started to change was the drudge report. And the drudge report started to report on the Clinton doing what he was doing with women, you know?
Yeah.
The whole Monica Lewinsky shit.
Yeah, nobody thought anything was wrong with that on the left anyway. They just...
Yeah.
I think that's where the problem started. Well, actually,
the problem started further back. The problem started with the Ted Kennedy when he murdered somebody and got away with it.
Yeah, you know, the things that I've studied that darn thing. He was driving that night drunk on an expired driver's license. He didn't have insurance on that car. They figured out that she probably lived in that car for 45 minutes in an air bubble. That was, and he went home and went to sleep. you or I tried something like that, we'd have been in prison for the rest of our frickin' lives.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Hell, just driving without insurance will get you thrown in jail.
Yep.
And he had all three of those things going on him. Nothing.
And here's the deal. That type of stuff would happen today. They would say, well, fuck, why didn't you use your cell phone to call? You wouldn't, you know, I mean, he might have had an excuse to, you know, I'm going to go call for help. I'll be back. I got to go find a phone. You know, I got to go find a pay phone at the time or whatever, or some little podunk store or wherever he was by that bridge, you know. And it's like, okay, I can understand him wanting to go get help, but just to flat out go home and go to sleep, that's not right.
Yeah. And then report the accident the next morning.
That's almost as bad as the Clinton body count.
Yeah. And that's still growing, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you got a guy like Seth Rich who is sitting in the park, who they claim shot himself in the head three times, in the back of the head three times, and claimed it was a robbery, even though none of his credit cards were gone, none of his cash was gone, and it's a robbery. Number one. Number two, he shoots himself in the back of the head three times. They call it a suicide. Well, one time in the back of the head is good enough. So wait, how can he shoot after that first shot? How does he shoot himself 2 more times? Okay. And two, that's a waste. Well, I don't want to say it's a waste of bullets, but again, you know, I mean, my feeling is...
Yeah, if somebody's going to shoot themselves in the head, why would they take the gun and put it in the back of their head to shoot themselves? Who does
that?
You know, like,
somebody
usually like, you know, on the side or you know, on the side of their head, you know, that's a little bit easier of an angle to do it with.
I did want to see it coming.
Either that, well, I mean, if you didn't want to see it coming, stick it underneath your chin. You know?
Well, it's just like women who shoot themselves, kill themselves, you know, doing suicide stuff. They normally shoot themselves in the chest and not the face. Just so that it doesn't mess their face up.
Yeah, because they still want an open casket.
Yeah.
I'm like, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see that. Women don't want their faces blown off.
Even if they're dead. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I know if I was to be the one to find somebody that had just killed themselves, I guess it would be less traumatic to see that they shot themselves in the chest versus blowing their face off, you know? I mean, so maybe it's out of consideration for whoever finds them.
Yeah, that could be.
Right. I mean, look,
here's
the deal, though. You know, if you, everybody here has probably seen Shawshank Redemption, right? You know, at the end of that movie, that crooked warden sits at his desk, blows his gun, and shoots himself underneath the chin, right? Which probably, you know, goes up through the top of the head, I would think. The bullet, you know? So
yeah,
it didn't come out through the face because yeah, whatever. Anyway, that's just what some people do. But again, that's not the point. The point is this guy died in a questionable way. It's a murder, but it's a questionable murder because of how they say, well, how they say he died and how the particular shot that was taken. You know, I tend to believe it was more of a, not a murder, it was a murder, but it was a, what is it, a contract killing or something. An
cover
execution.
Up.
Execution.
Yep.
Yep. Again, this is another Clinton thing. You know, a lot of people around the Clintons have died in questionable ways.
And they still are.
That makes me say, yeah, they still are. Look, they've changed. I've said it before. These people have changed the rule. I think one of the mistakes that Trump did in 2016 is not actually putting Hillary Clinton in jail.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. She should have been put in jail. She should still be languishing there.
But at that point, look, at that point, we were still playing by the old rules, which said you're not to go after your political opponents in that way. That was the old rules. And notice I use the word was. It's not the rule now. The rule now is anything goes. That means
anything goes.
Yep, that means if Trump gets in the office, not only is he going to fire all these people in the DOJ and everything else, clean out the FBI, the CIA, and all this shit, he's going to go after people. He's going to go after Jack Smith and Chutkin and all these other people that have been going after him. And and Lord knows, that might include some of these people in the media, you know. Oh, freedom of speech? Well, you're trying to take away this judge with these gag orders is trying to take away his freedom of speech, you know.
Because, well, you know, the thing that the left completely loses the sight of this is, sure, you've got freedom of speech to do anything, to say anything you want, but if you say something that's patently wrong, there are consequences to that. And the Democrats and many of the most politicians in Washington today don't think that way. They think, well, I've got freedom of speech. That's all there is to it. No, there's freedom of speech, but you also have consequences. And the consequences have been taken away.
I'm going to bring in Pianki. Looks like we got Pianki in the house raising his hand, so I'm bringing him on. Hey, Pianki.
Hey, look, you know, talking about women committing suicide. I don't know how many of you remember old Moms Mabley. Anyway, one of her friends came to her and was asking how to commit suicide. So Mom Mabley, in her particular way, told her to get a gun and hold it about 1 inch below the end of your breath and pull the trigger. So that woman went home and did just that. Mom Mabley said, you know, that fool went home and shot herself in the knee.
God damn it.
Okay, that was good.
That was really good. Man, I can't believe we haven't heard from Sarge.
Yeah.
I was wondering, there is a bike number that's just sitting back listening. I don't know if it's Sarge or maybe John Doe, but there's a Skype number. Could be either one of them.
I was with Sarge since about 3 o'clock this afternoon. He's been wearing people out left and right.
Maybe he wore himself out.
Maybe so.
Giving his voice a rest.
Maybe so. Yes, like I said, the rules have changed. The rules need, and Republicans need to follow the rules. The rules have been set. If the Republicans don't follow the rules, they're stupid. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're stupid. They're dumbasses.
Well, you know, it's like I had said earlier, you know, that with this whole thing with Clarence Thomas, you know, the Democrats have dropped that now because the Republicans threatened to subpoena Soros and his son. So the Democrats dropped their charge against Clarence Thomas. And you know, it's like Lorianne said, the Republicans, that they need to start doing this constantly, because there's so many Democrats, there's so many politicians all over that have broken the laws. They need to be penalized for it. I don't see it continuing, but it was nice to see them do that.
Well, it started.
Yeah, there's a Skype number raising their hand. I think maybe Sarge might have heard us talking about it, and maybe now he's dialed in and raising his hand. Bring him up.
I was just picking up the phone to call y'all up, and there y'all taking my name in vain.
Were your ears burning?
Yeah, they were, man. They were burning and they was hopping at the same time.
Oh, boy.
I did hear someone ask a question of me, which as I was picking the phone to dial in, I missed it. What was that question that was being posed?
Where were you?
That was the question. Are you talking about when John F. Kennedy was shot or some other time?
No, just where were you?
Can you be a little bit more specific and narrow it down a bit?
Yeah.
Well, we were
wondering where you were, not on the phone.
Oh, you mean tonight? You mean for the duration of the show? Oh, well, actually, for the most part, I was listening, traveling to and from other tasks I'm doing around the house, but I was listening avidly, but I missed the part about this question that was posed. I did hear a question. Somebody said, ask Sarge, but I missed the question because of the movement. You know, you're making noise and you're carrying things and you miss, it was overcome by the noise of my transit. So what was the question that I missed?
Look, me and Sarge tried the Kyle Rittenhouse case all over again with some people.
Did we ever?
There was a bunch of liberals that still think that he's a murderer and he was there just to kill people.
Yeah. Here's a good one for you. He crossed state lines. Oh, God.
Yeah, they still believe that lie. You know, he did not, and that came out. Like, if they had even bothered to, you know, check their facts on that.
Well, he did. He
yeah,
did
but
cross
you know, the media
line.
Is culpable
did,
for that too.
But he did cross
not
state
with
lines.
The firearm.
Since when is it illegal for American citizens to cross state lines for any reason? I mean, that's why it's illegal to cross state lines. He went across state lines to give aid to people who were being besieged by rioters that were overwhelming the police. He didn't go there to commit a crime. He didn't cross state lines to commit a riot
or insurrection or other crime that would be fall under federal province?
Mm-hmm.
But he crossed state lines. He crossed state lines. Oh, what? What am I supposed to do with that? Hang him?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, but the thing is there, you know, they want to believe that he had his firearm with him, which he didn't. His firearm was stored, if I'm not mistaken, at his dad's place that lived just outside of Kenosha. And so that's where he kept it was where it was stored. And what people fail to realize is where, you know, crossing the state lines, it was like, it's like right over the bridge. It's like crossing from Portland into Vancouver, Washington. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like he, you know, drove 3 hours or something to do it. Like they totally like to distort.
But wait a minute, that's not all. But that's not all. They are accusing him obliquely of crossing state lines in order to get some sort of unspecified criminal act of riotous violence as well. Not just the firearms violation that they claim, but the fact that he went there to do some nefarious deeds of violence.
Yeah.
They're putting
yeah, because
in league
that's
with
what
Antifa.
Violent people do is, you know, they show up with a first aid bag, you know, everything needed to do first aid. You know, forget the fact that, you know, he was a lifeguard, you know, that he worked in Kenosha as a lifeguard. And so he has, you know, training on, you know, how to resuscitate people, stop bleeding, you know, take care of injuries, stuff like that. So, but, you know, yeah, let's just go with the narrative that he totally showed up there so that he could go and kill somebody and be part of the riot. Okay. You know?
And let's not also, let's not forget the fact that he did, in fact, treat people for injuries from, riot gases and minor cuts and bruises. He actually used his first aid kit to render aid prior to the incident that got him arrested and prosecuted.
Exactly.
I mean,
you know, and there's video after video showing him walking around asking people if they're in need of assistance, you know, stuff like that. You know, but let's just forget all that video evidence, too, while we're at it. You know, got to stick with that narrative.
Got to stick with it. I mean, that's all they have. When you examine the issue under the facts of the law and the circumstances, everything they say falls apart. And I had to remind this guy of what that fat-ass prosecutor said out loud in court. Every now and then, you just got to be prepared to take an ass whooping. And I'll never forget that one. I will never forget that one.
Wow.
Oh, I'll never forget the prosecutor aiming the rifle at the jury. Aiming it right at him.
That
and then
the most...
also using his fingers like a gun, pointing his finger at the judge and, you know, symbolizing pulling the trigger at the judge. A lot of the left-wing media missed that as well. That prosecutor was a joke. I mean, oh, my God.
Most inept prosecution I've seen since O.J. Simpson. In fact, far more so. It was a joke of a prosecution. It was beyond belief. It was Keystone Cops. But what do you guys think about the release of the Tranny Festo? Isn't that something? The Tranny Festo thing that at first they did, the mainstream media was doing its best to say was probably not legit. Then they confirmed it as being legitimate when the mayor of Nashville said they were launching an investigation into the unauthorized leak of it. And finally, what it revealed as to the twisted mentality of this psychotic shooter. I mean, they were doing their best to portray some sort of victim of bullying or abuse, and her writings indicate that nothing of the sort could possibly be true, that in fact she was simply motivated by her desire to destroy those whom she envied and hated. Have you read these three pages that have been released from this thing? They are so sick and so twisted and so hateful. This girl, what she did, she didn't just transgender herself into a man. She transgendered herself into an oppressed victim. All of the internalized rhetoric of the woke Maoist left. She transmogrified herself into an oppressed victim class, just like she transmuted herself into a man in her sick, twisted mind. It was amazing if you read it. Just read it. If y'all haven't read it, I'll be happy to read it to you, because it's almost beyond belief what she writes in this thing. I'm telling you, it is just staggering to think that probably education, public education, and maybe her college education have gotten her to this point, got her to this point, along, of course, with a twisted mentality. But I think that the combination of it all brought her to the point where she went out to do that murder. Now, let's hear some of the things she says here. Let's take a look here. And one of these pages, because, man, I'm telling you, I read this thing, and I said, now I see why they were trying to keep this from us. It has nothing to do with an investigation or ongoing investigation or anything else. It has to do with keeping the truth of the depth of the mental illness of these people out of public view. That's what it has to do with.
Yeah, they didn't want the issue about transgenderism with her being brought up. But look at this. The damage has already been done because they galvanized, mobilized demonstrators, which were kids coming out of the elementary school district around the area and within the area, to march onto the state capitol protesting against guns. And not the fact that this person was mentally ill twice. Mentally ill with their selection of who they want to be, mentally ill with what they've done. And that's like what they want to attack Clarence Thomas. You know, they used to attack Judge Joe Brown like that, too. He's applying the Constitution to what was in front of him. And people don't like that. They like to turn Kyle Rittenhouse incident into a racial issue. But that black man that tried to stomp him when he was laying on his back, Kyle could have shot him and killed him. Even when he turned around and ran from Cal, he didn't do it because he was no longer a threat. That young man was disciplined in the use of tactical fighting with a gun. As far as I'm concerned, he's a hero.
He was impressive. I got to admit, he was so impressive. I spent months trying to train in a police officer as a firearms instructor, that sort of discipline and that sort of discretion. And this 17-year-old kid had it in spades as well as anyone I've ever seen. And every single round he fired hit an intended target, and he did it under great stress. I was thoroughly impressed with that young man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then they pushed through him.
And to your point, guys, he's a white guy, he did all this stuff, but when that other guy who was a black guy ran through this parade in a car. Oh, they cover that thing up because this is a black guy that did it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's upside, things are upside down.
Well, it is upside down.
Yeah,
let's take a look at
that Thanksgiving. That was at that Thanksgiving parade. Well, he swerved from one side of the street to the other intentionally trying to hit somebody. He missed one young little girl, but must have been about 4 years old, by inches. Then he drives home after he got damage to the front of the car. He backs his car up into the driveway where the damage end is pointing the street. Then he runs across the street to the neighbor wanting to use the phone to call somebody. I don't know who the hell it was.
Oh, man, it was crazy. But look, let's take a look at what this crazy shooter wrote in this manifesto. She writes at the top of the notebook, Death Day. Today is the day. The day has finally come. I can't believe it's here. Don't know how I was able to get this far, but here I am. I'm a little nervous but excited. Been excited for the past 2 weeks. There were several times I could have been caught, especially in the summer of 2021. None of that matters now. I'm almost an hour and 7 minutes away. Can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm ready. I hope my victims aren't. My only fear is if anything goes wrong, I'll do my best to prevent so I can make it out of the something of the sort. God, let my wrath take over my anxiety. It might be 10 minutes. It might be 3 to 7. It's going to go quick. I hope I have a high death count. Ready to die. Now, that's not all. She also says in the next page, kill those kids, those crackers, going to private fancy schools with those fancy khakis and sports backpacks with their daddy's Mustangs and convertibles. Fuck you, little shits. I wish to shoot your weak-ass dicks, your mop yellow hair. Kill all you little crackers, bunch of little with your white privileges. Fuck you, faggots. And then she says, you know, I mean, she goes on and on in this vein and all these pages. I'm telling you, man. And what's amazing is here's a woke transgender LGBTIA community member, and she's calling these kids faggots. She's committed not only murder, but heinous thought crime.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Plus, she's using the word cracker. Here you got a white female using the word cracker, and like you say, look at her sexual persuasion, and she's using the word faggot. You know something's wrong with her. So why come all those children, those elementary school children that participate in the demonstration, marching to the Capitol against guns, why come they not privileged to that information to show that this fool had a mental condition, a big mental condition?
Bianchi, like I said earlier, she transmuted herself just like she did from a woman into a man in her mind. She has internalized the victim oppressor rhetoric, and she has turned it inward into herself. She doesn't look in the mirror and see a white woman. She sees a victim of the patriarchy and white supremacy. It's astonishing, but this is the kind of thing that these kids today are being filled with. And the mentally ill of them internalize it in this manner. The ones that are on the edge, not people who are ordinary, even if they have imbibed the woke, you know, rhetoric and all that. I'm talking about the ones who are on the margins of mental stability. And that would include probably most people who consider themselves to be transgenders, if not all. And it's clear as a bell that that's what happened to her.
It kind of reminded me of that DA down there in New Orleans, that black DA. Him and his mother was in a car, and he gets carjacked. So he calls the police. Operator, hello. Hello, this is DA such and such and such and such. Well, why come he just didn't report the crime like everybody else has to do and wait about an hour before the police show up?
White privilege. I don't know. DA privilege. Oh, man, I tell you. You know what, right now?
And, guys, I just recently heard a clip from Letitia James from, oh, it has to be, I don't know, when she first got elected, and she was, back then she was talking about going to get Trump, right? And what she said in this clip, basically she called him a cracker. She said, he's male, he's pale, and he's stale.
That's right. Too male, too pale, and too stale. She's a racist.
That's right.
She's clearly
right.
A racist. Oh, man,
no,
these people
so
are...
So why can't she not being pulled off?
Hey,
pulled off the trial?
He can't... She can't be a racist. She's black.
She's got black privilege. You're absolutely right. I give you another example. Hold on to your seat. You had another affirmative action comptroller, airport controller, damn near land another plane on another plane. If both pilots haven't took the necessary precautions in order to prevent the accident. This guy is still working. He's black. He's still working. How in the hell are you going to still be working in that position when you have a FedEx plane coming in on its final approach and you had another plane that's on the side of the tarmac getting ready to pull out on the runway for takeoff?
Oh man, that says it all, doesn't it? That's what diversity, equity, inclusion has in store for you, incompetent air traffic controllers.
Now, I have a question for you, Sarge. You were a police officer, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, and we were talking about Seth Rich earlier and how he was found. Now, you've probably seen people that have been shot in the back of the head, right?
Sure.
Sure.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And that's how he's found. Now, my question is this. You shoot somebody in the back of the head, it only takes the one bullet to kill you, right?
So, well, more often than not, yeah, not necessarily always, but yeah, more often than not.
Right. Then why did it take three to kill Seth Rich? And the claim is suicide, of course. But again, he's tied to the Clintons, so I don't want to start on that stuff. But they claim it's suicide, but being shot in the back, that's more of an execution type thing, right?
Well, you can certainly draw that inference. However, I have been at suicide scenes where the first, even the shooter was tentative in their intention to kill themselves, and they flinched, and the first couple rounds grazed them, didn't kill them. They took another round and flinched again, did another superficial injury, and the third round was the one that they finally had the muster to put it completely to their temple and pull the trigger and not flinch.
Yeah.
So it's possible, not likely, but it does happen from time to time. But, yeah, I would agree
right.
with you. It's extremely unlikely.
Right. I've seen in different places where, you know, it's usually either the temple or basically underneath the chin.
Under
right?
the chin, yeah. That's the most common, right. Yeah.
Right. So, and like I said, the way they describe this guy's, the way they described him getting killed was he was shot in the back of the head. The exit wound was through the front of the face. So basically blowing his face off, right?
Right.
So that's basically how they described Seth Rich as being killed. But again, I'm not saying anything about who's tied to and all that shit, you know, because everybody knows what I think about the Clinton body count. You know.
Well, I tell you though, you know, and they did say he died in the hospital, if I remember correctly. Even though that a wound like that is obviously catastrophic, they said that you know, he was maybe had a functioning brain stem and was meant to keep him alive for a while in the hospital until he expired. He was formally declared dead in the hospital after treatment. So
well, I tell you what, I knew some guys, one or two, that could have shot themselves in the head all day long and wouldn't done nothing for simple reason. Ain't have no damn brains anyway.
Well, they got concrete heads.
Oh, it passed right through.
Yeah.
Nothing there to hit.
A lot of them had just bounced off because it's so damn hard at it. man,
yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, dumbasses, you know, just flat out dumbasses.
But this Tranny Festo thing was really enlightening. It's clear that our overlords want to keep information away from us that does not comport with their narratives. They want us ignorant to the extent they can in order to fulfill their agenda for the United States.
What about that prosecutor in Baltimore, Sarge?
Oh, yeah, Marilyn Mosby got convicted of fraud, welfare fraud,
yep.
COVID fraud. Yeah,
yep.
She's the one that led that Freddie Gray prosecution against those cops, and she lost every single case. And now she's been convicted of fraud. Another rat. Another rat prosecutor.
Yeah. We can always hope that help happens to Jack Smith and all the other ones.
And Patty Willis, yep, her too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Letitia James.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, excuse me, she was found guilty of perjury by a federal jury. She was found guilty of perjury after she falsely claimed financial hardship during the COVID pandemic in order to withdraw money from the city's retirement fund. And so that's essentially fraud, but they really found her guilty on the perjury count when she got up on the stand and lied about what she had done.
Well, at least they found her guilty of something.
Another rat prosecutor, man. They're all over the place. I mean, they got so many corrupt rat prosecutors, it's almost impossible to count them all.
Well, she's on the stand. Apparently, she wasn't a ham sandwich. She was a Braunschweiger.
Well, she's toast now. Now, maybe we get Letitia James. At the very least, they ought to be able to get Letitia James for ethics violations, because no one is supposed to run for a public office, particularly the highest legal office in the state, as the attorney for the state of a major, for a major United States state, campaigning to get an individual with no access to the ability to get evidence of a crime against that individual. Yet and still, she campaigned on it, not once, not twice, but a whole campaign was based on this. And she's been in the courtroom every day in a front row seat as though she didn't have anything else to do to help protect the citizens of the state of New York from a man involved in an alleged offense where there was no victim.
Yep. Well, I would be combing her to find out if she had any scratch-off lottery tickets she didn't claim as income. She ain't clean.
Well, here's the deal. You got to ask yourself, she's worth, you know how much she's worth? She's worth $15 to $20 million.
Yes, and
now,
she made it after she became prosecutor. That's what's so interesting about it. She made most of it on a just over $100,000 salary because she's been attorney general, and now she's worth $15 million. Oh, but they said because she's a real estate wizard.
Oh, that sounds like the thing with Paul Pelosi out there in California, where he's got 100% success rate with stocks. You know,
of course he did.
Yep. And that's the thing. These people, it's not just Fannie Willis that needs to go. It's the judge, the three judges in the three cases, and it's also fucking Alvin Bragg.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And everybody seems to be forgetting about him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing the amount of ethics violence. I'm not talking about just criminality. I mean, the ethics violations are on the surface, lying in plain sight, and no one is attempting to bring this woman up on these charges before the bar or before any state agency empowered to look into such things. That's just amazing
now,
to me.
Now, one thing is the Elise Stefanik is bringing the judge up on these ethics charges. On ethics charges. She's going to bring the judge up. Now, I don't know if she's thinking about bringing ethics charges against Letitia James, but she's doing it against the judge. So, yeah. And look, think about this. This is, you got these three cases in New York are bullshit cases, of course, and you've got one that's, you know, they saying what they're saying about his Mar-a-Lago stuff. You got the second one is basically they're trusting the word of a fucking porn star, all right. And the third one is a weird ass woman that was a sex advice columnist that said Trump did something in a Bergdorf that apparently there was a Trump Hotel across the street or damn near that Bergdorf store where he could have went into that hotel and did whatever he said he was going to do and all this stuff. And this judge, because of what he said at that so-called Republican town hall meeting on CNN because he was insulting her, you know, by saying, well, I don't know her. I never met her. All this stuff. She named her cat Vagina, that type of stuff. I mean, because he said that, he reopened the case. This judge reopened the case after it was supposedly finished. He reopened the case and said, well, we're going to add to the punishment. Okay? All these cases are is process cases. It's not, the case is not the punishment. The process is the punishment. All right? That's what this is. It's nothing but process.
Well, you know, I blame conservatives on some of that because they need to be moving to have some of these judges removed. Federal judge only serve on account of good behavior, not for life, on account of good behavior. And we've seen a lot of cases and heard a lot of stories where some have stepped beyond that good behavior and done some things that's callous. Remove them. If you're not successful, at least you sent a message. We coming after you.
Well, the problem right now is the Democrats are in control of the Senate, right? So, so the impeachment of a judge would have to go through. If let's say they want to go after Judge Chutkan, that's the federal judge in New York and in Washington D.C. Well, they can't. It's not going to happen because Schumer's there. Schumer's the majority leader right now. So they could try, but it's not going to happen. It wouldn't probably happen until Trump gets in and there's a possible flip in the Senate, right? So if there's a flip in the Senate, Trump gets in, Trump will go, see that judge over there? See that federal judge over there? Go get her. See these judges in New York. Go get them. See Letitia James. Go get her. You know. See the judge in Colorado. Go get him or her. You know.
Well, back to Letitia James. Letitia James' net worth, according to her financial filings, $15 million. Annual income is $4 million. Her other income is $3.9 million. A stock portfolio of $6 million. And her salary is, get this now, $103,375 a year from the taxpayers. Now, look, I'm going to tell you what I think this is. And it's just my opinion. I got no evidence to support it. But it's a gut. And I'm not usually wrong about these things. It's just this money laundering vehicle that the left rewards the useful idiots and functionaries with. Book deals, board seats at private corporations, charitable entities, highly paid employment where they don't do a damn thing, insider trading, IPO involvement. There's almost no limit to the scams they can create to compensate people for doing the lousy, dirty work. They do it all out in the open because they ain't nothing going to be investigated, exposed, prosecuted, or even questioned. You all heard of a guy named Benito Mussolini. Well, he said the ideal fascism was government, private sector industry, news organizations all working together for the greater good of the few elites at the top of the food chain. And I'm telling you right now, I suspect Letitia James is a lower-ranking member of that club.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, she's being set up. That's what they do. Just like the one, those three aldermen in St. Louis was trying to shake down the Arab businesses. Even for a used car, man, can you imagine that? A used car. God damn. And they told on all three of them. One was attempting to run for mayor. Louis Reed, been around for a long time. He know better. They almost got Congressman Clay, who was a congressperson for about 18 years in the first congressional district. His father was congressperson for 32 years. He was someplace at a meeting. They gave him an envelope. He left, And I guess his better conscience has got the best of him. He took the envelope back.
Hello, boy. You know, I tell you what, you know, but back to one more thing I'd like to say about Audrey Hale, the Tranny Festo creator. You know, what she wrote in that thing is almost a perfect intersection of transgender indoctrination and Marxist critical race theory indoctrination. I'm telling you right now, this is what is where this stuff is coming to. And she has literally imbibed and internalized all of that rhetoric and so she could posit herself as a two-tier victim, a victim of both the oppression of LGBTQIA discrimination and racial discrimination. She internalized it all.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Again, you should have, I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe there's a point that she was probably sick in the head before she decided to go through the change, you know, and try and take all the medicine and all that stuff, which all of medicine does is mess with your mind, right? You know, I mean, it does. So, you know, she's probably sick in the first place after all the fucking years of listening, being captured in the schools, you know, of the public schools with the CRT and all this shit, you know, and it's like, you know, it is what it is. This is the end result of several decades worth of education, end quote.
Let me say this. She went to school in that building, at that school. She was a student of that school that she shot up.
Wow. And by the way, Sarge, did you see what happened with the whole Justice Thomas situation? The Republicans started to play by the rules, the new rules. Okay, the Democrats were trying to go after Justice Thomas to get him off the court. What did the Republicans do? They threatened to subpoena Soros and the younger Soros. Well, they dropped the whole thing like a hot potato against Justice Thomas. That's how things should be done. Those are the rules. They've set the rules. That's how things are done. Now, that's how things should be done. You know, the rules have been set.
Well, you know that the Republicans wait. In that case that authorized, or should I say, approved same-sex marriage, Justice Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Justice Kagan, Judge Ginsburg, both of them had officiated same-sex marriage. They were the judge in two cases. They should not have been able to rule on that case. They should have recused themselves.
They should have recused themselves, yep. But they didn't.
That's sort of an ethics violation as well. You know.
I agree. But they don't seem to care.
Like I said, the rules have been set. The rules have been changed. I've said it before. The whole thing with when at one of his rallies in 2016, they were talking about they were going to lock her up in terms of Hillary Clinton, and he just kind of Trump kind of put it off to the side, you know, and kind of ignored it and all that stuff. Yeah, he played into it a little bit, but he didn't do anything about it. He was playing by the old rules. The old rules state you do not go after your political opponents like that. All right?
Yes.
You do not turn the state. Those are the old rules. You do not turn the state against your opponent. Well, again, they changed the rules almost from the beginning of his almost from the time when he walked down that escalator. All right, the rules were changed.
Yep.
He didn't know the rules were changed at the time, but the rules were changed, and we saw what happened. Russia. The impeachments, the all this stuff, people refusing to admit that he won the election, asking the question, when was the last time an actor killed a president, you know, all that kind of shit, you know, and it's like,
yep.
Crazy shit that happened after he got elected, right? You know, and now all this shit that's going on with all these goddamn bullshit cases that they're bringing up against him, right? So
right.
they basically set the rules on how to treat your opponent. I'm not for these rules. Don't get me wrong. I don't like them, but if one person sets the rules and the other person people who are supposedly follow the law, follow the rules type people don't follow the rules, what's going to happen? People that don't follow the rules going to get run over. And that's what's been happening. Now, I expect that when Trump gets in, again, if he gets in, when he gets in, he's going to follow the new rule and going to clear the crap out of the place, put people who will go after these people, and you know, people go, we want to get rid of woke and weaponized government. Yes and no, because if we get rid of the weaponized government, then we're basically changing the rules back to what they were, which would probably not allow Trump to do what he wants to do, you know, because, you got to do this and you got to change the rules back. Well, you can't come in and prosecute Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and all these people that have done all this criminal activity in Washington, D.C. that need to go. They need to go to jail.
Yep.
You know?
Well.
Go ahead.
As far as the rule changing goes, Harry Reid gave us our last three Supreme Court justices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When he changed the rules, I can't remember who it was that they wanted to appoint, and he changed the rules in the Senate so it was a 50 vote. Plus one vote, and everybody told him not to do it. Don't do it. You know, even I think McConnell told him not to do that because it would come back to bite him in the ass. He did it anyway. came back and bit him in the ass, just like McConnell said it would.
Well, and not only did it bite him in the ass, you know, especially when they wanted to appoint the current AG to court. Well, McConnell said, "Fuck you, we're not doing it. We're waiting until after the election," which actually gave us those three judges, you know.
Yeah.
So every time they do this shit, every time they do it, it comes, just about every time they do it, it comes back to bite them in the ass. Hopefully.
That's a tough list.
Hopefully. Go ahead.
Nah, man. Y'all Trump supporters, man, y'all start to sound like Knicks fans. Now, Knicks fans always talk about that championship. I keep hearing about 2016 and now 2020. Man, y'all got to relax. Anyway, what's up, y'all?
Who are we talking to here?
No, this is Nas, man.
Oh, hey, Nas.
Hey there, Nas. It's been a while. Where have you been?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, though. Just up and around. So you guys winding down?
Is that what you call it? Okay.
Well, what would you call it?
Hey, we thought they had pulled you off your position because you wasn't able to convince the Negroes they thinking in the wrong direction.
Is that right? Well, I see you guys are still confident even after getting shellacked again. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all right to take a shellacking one. You know they're cheating.
Oh, there we go. With the excuse.
Well, you know, they shut down an awful lot of voting machines because they were supposedly flipping votes and shit like that through quite a few counties. And, you know, I mean, they're still playing their little shenanigans with the voting machines. Who cares? You know?
Yeah.
They're gonna make it up. In fact, I just read the other day where two of the attorneys in Fulton County petitioned the court to get off the case. I think they were, I can't remember if they were prosecuting the case or if they were the defendant's lawyers, but it's a case about there was 100-some-odd thousand votes that were hidden in Fulton County, and all of a sudden those votes came up missing, and the ballots were all on the same type of paper, and all of the ovals were filled in precisely, you know, no over, no under, no difference in all the ovals, you know, in the votes. They were all precise with each other. And
yep,
suddenly things
when y'all find
suddenly things come up missing.
Okay, but y'all do realize when y'all finding all these conspiracy theories, the algorithm links you in and is going to constantly feed you those if it feels like you're always going to click them. So at a certain point, man, like, how many of these conspiracies are y'all going to put together as opposed to saying, hey, our platform is probably not that popular. We probably pissed off a lot of young people with some of the, especially the Roe v. Wade stuff. And maybe we need to come up with some new ideas. That's a little easier than just coming up with these grand conspiracies every time about how y'all got cheated.
Is it a conspiracy theory that we saw on videotape, them pulling in that arena, in Atlanta, them pulling out those suitcases, opening up the suitcases, taking the ballots out of the suitcases, and putting them on the table. Is that a conspiracy theory?
No, that's a conspiracy theory of a YouTube video that went viral because somebody was narrating behind the video telling you what you wanted to see, when in all reality that's already been investigated and none of the things you just said happened. But
yeah.
That sounds like
who investigated?
That sounds like the video shows said that a white police officer killed George Floyd. In all my life, I have been hearing about all these taxes that were designed to keep black people from voting. If I'm not mistaken, Fulton County is majority black, isn't it? That's somewhere about.
Yeah.
It wasn't a deep fake conspiracy when we saw the voting center out there at that stadium shut down in the middle of the night with the partisan poll watchers ejected and then the count resumed without them in place. That is not a conspiracy. That is what happened. And now we see rat judges in Maine and Connecticut are reversing the outcomes of election using the exact same techniques of geofencing, corroborated with video camera surveillance, overturning the results of election, the same techniques that Dinesh D'Souza used in 2000 News, the exact same techniques that these rat judges used to overturn an election and order new ones, both in Connecticut and in Maine. Now, the truth is going to come out whether you guys think it's going to be written or not. We know it is. The only question is when.
Yeah, I would suggest you guys continue to push this platform. You should tell people that their vote doesn't count and that young conservatives should stay home because they're going to cheat anyway. So why vote? Yeah, y'all should keep doing this. Good job.
Naj, we're not trying to demoralize anybody. Naj. Yeah, but Naj, that was a nice little bit of an attempt at demoralizing propaganda. It's not going to work with anybody who's halfway alert. What we need to do is to notify people of the techniques that are being used to obviate their vote. Let them know it, let them be aware of it, and also explain and fortify the reasons why we need laws relating to election integrity. See, what you're trying to do now is a deaf sleight of hand by saying, well, you're saying the election is meaningless because they're going to cheat you out of the results anyway. You know better than that. You know that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is like in this, the enemy's over the hill. They're about to sneak up on you. Be alert. That's what we're telling them.
Yeah, man.
No,
all
that
I'm
ain't what he's
this.
Saying. Wait a minute, Naj.
Well,
you know that ain't.
Go ahead.
Naj, where were you at when you was telling black kids that the Constitution wasn't meant for them? I mean, come on now, man. We know all these things. Where were you at?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Haven't blacks been told that the Constitution isn't meant for you? Haven't black kids that go and get high degrees, difficult degrees, and go to work for your Boeing, go to work for Caterpillar, go to work for NASA? You shouldn't work for them. You're just furthering white supremacy.
I've never said those things, man.
No.
I don't know why you said that to me, but okay.
I'm not saying you in particular, Naj, but your like logistical mindset, they do say that. I've heard them.
All I was trying to say was, at a certain point, Republicans kind of got to get their platform together, man. They have to figure out what they want to do. Y'all got two competing factions within your party, and right now they're tearing your party apart. You're not able to win elections, and you keep blaming everybody else, saying there's cheating going on and all this other stuff. When if you were going to pick a group who is organized and efficient enough to cheat in a modern election system, you wouldn't pick the Democrats as being the people organized and quality enough to pull off something like that.
Yes, I would.
Can I chime in here a little bit? I agree with what Naj is saying, but it doesn't need to be one or the other. It's like there's both dynamics going on. Yes, the GOP is divided. We got the Trumpers, and then we got the never Trumpers. We got pretty much a whole panel of warmongers, basically, in the GOP, with only a couple of exceptions. And it's like, you know, the GOP needs to face the reality that, you know, they need to unify more and fight less with each other, because otherwise they're going to continue to lose. And yet we also, you know, we can't ignore election fraud or election anomalies. We can't ignore the problem. You can't address a problem if you ignore it. And if you just try to twist it around into conspiracy theories, there's both things going on here. And,
yeah, but,
you know,
but
and
Lord,
I pulled
yeah,
up an article,
I,
like, here's some of the stuff that happened on Tuesday.
Go ahead.
You know, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Mississippi, Texas, you know, there were election anomalies there. And then now you got to add on to the fact that several states and counties are literally, their election offices are being sent fentanyl-laced envelopes and stuff. I mean, there is some serious craziness going on, and I think that the overall, when you take all of these things into account, I think that you kind of nailed it as far as creating doubt in the American voter's mind that it's no use to vote because it's all going to be fraudulent anyway. And doesn't that serve the people that – yeah, exactly. So I'm agreeing with you on that point. You nailed it right there. Wouldn't that serve the powers that be so beautifully if people don't trust that their vote is actually going to count, forget about it, kick back, who cares, and just let it all happen? You know, the powers that be would absolutely love that. So I think we need to address all of these issues.
If you're a – right, well, let me get to that, Lorianne. So if you're a young MAGA voter, your first time voting was for Trump in 2016. That was your guy. You get your win. And then after that, you've been told everything is rigged, it's corrupt, it's whatever. You know how reluctant young people are to stand in line and vote as it is. So just putting that out there, you're already limiting your own, capability of getting that vote out on the election day. So to me, that's a problem. Second thing, when we go into these conspiracy theories about voter fraud, we have a voter participation problem in America way more than we do voter fraud. Voter fraud is like 0.00001%. And the few times, most of the time that they do have it, the people are caught and arrested and hit hard because, you know, the system typically wants to overpunish somebody and make an example out of them. But this idea that the Dems are coordinating these efforts and stealing these elections, nah, they're just as desperate as the Republicans, hoping they get the turnout that they've paid for as far as advertisements and everything else, and the threats of, you better vote because if the orange guy gets in there, we're all going to die. And, you know, the Dems' typical position. Like, the abortion situation was the biggest giveaway to them ever because now they can hold that over the head of the young Dems and say, well, you want to protect abortion rights, don't you? And they're just going to keep doing it and running on it because they don't want it codified anymore because now they got another plank to run on. And y'all gave it to him.
Well, you know, Nod, I hear what you're saying. I like it when you come around because you kind of stir my juices. You know, when you're walking around in stores with a petition for people to sign and telling them that they're trying to take your right of controlling your body as a woman, not getting into details where in Ohio they allow kids under 12 to get an abortion without the consent of their parents. Not getting into those details now, Nod. That there sounds like deceitful, demonic stuff to me, and you know it.
I don't know anything about
Naj. I need an explanation. That I want to know how it is, and why it was that in three states across the union, in the 2020 election,
shut down their voter count completely exactly at the same time, and then resumed exactly at the same time with enough Biden votes for him to win. How does that happen? How is that not a voter fraud?
Well, first thing I would say is that sounds like a pretty big story. Somebody can win a Pulitzer off that. So has the AP covered that story? Did Reuters cover that story? And the answer is no. So that makes me question that totally.
Well, they're on the tape.
But here now, let me ask another question. Okay. You know that the mainstream media has an agenda. And you know that whenever somebody comes up with proof or evidence, it becomes a conspiracy theory or it is censored. I mean, since COVID has come out, they had shut down many, many people because they were conspiracy theorists about the origin of COVID and everything. And now, you know, we're a couple years down the track, and, you know, sure as shit, we know where COVID came from. We know how it was developed. We know how it was deployed. And, you know, so you are just right offhand excusing and ignoring any and all so-called conspiracy theories.
I'm saying when you bring to me a big global story that anybody could cover, independent news, not to mention mainstream news and everybody else, because the idea is not only would you bring in ad dollars for whoever you work for, you'd have a chance to win a Pulitzer. You'd have a certain amount of status after you report on that thing that is so huge. Now, what's the more likely event? That nobody's reporting on this story that you just told because it's all everybody's bought in? Or that story is not true,
nobody,
and that when you get online and you find these stories that go that lean to where you already think, that you're more willing to accept those stories as truthful when they may not be truthful. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
why not investigate and research a little more?
The funny thing about it is that stories did appear overseas. Yeah, mm-hmm. The really funny thing about it was that they were from some reputable news agencies overseas, but by golly, you didn't hear about it in the United States. They refused to publish those stories.
Yeah,
or
see, but who is they? The Intercept is out
media.
There. They take independent stories from media. Democracy Now, Amy Goodman, they'll take stories from anybody. Seymour Hersh told about
Democracy
the pipeline being blown up, and everybody doubted Seymour Hersh, and he stuck by his reporting. And guess what? Now people agree with him. He stood on what he reported. But what you guys are saying, there's no sourcing for it. There's no story I could find at any reputable place that says what you says is true. And at a certain point, it's just like, man, this is grasping at straws.
Now, Nosh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nosh, one more question. Okay. Tell me, explain, and like I'm a little four-year-old kid, what is a reputable news agency, and who the hell is it?
Any news agency that does good work where you can not only backtrack and go through their past track record of reporting stories that are underreported, but also give you the sourcing and information about where they got it and how they got it. Now,
give me an example.
Really come with these stories, they do it. Okay, I just gave you one.
Give me an example.
Seymour Hersh said, we blew up that pipeline over there. And the rest of the media said, no, we didn't. That was Putin. He did it. We had nothing to do with that. And they kept pushing back on him, and he stood by his reporting. And eventually everybody had to say, well, maybe Seymour got this one right, too. And they had to back off of him because his stuff was sore.
Who is Seymour Hirst or whoever that guy is? What?
Famous reporter who's uncovered a lot of stuff that we've done, especially overseas.
Excuse me, he's a famous reporter. How come I've never heard of him?
Well, I guess that solved that.
He happens to be the one who brought the My Lai massacre to the attention of the world. That was probably his most famous scoop. He brought the details of it and exposed it for everybody to examine. So he's got quite a reputation as an investigative muckraker. There's no doubt about that. It's not like he's somebody that you shouldn't have heard about. He's probably one of the bigger names in investigative journalism, even though he is a lefty. He still is one of the bigger names in investigative journalism.
I've heard about people like Sarah Carter and what's his name that does Just the News and all these other people that I've heard about that have been talking about this stuff, Revolver News. Breitbart, and what's the name of that doggone the Daily Mail was all over the election stuff. That's the English.
I bet they were. And if we're thinking of the Daily Mail and Breitbart are reputable news services, I don't know what to tell you, my brother.
Well, Nige, here's the thing. I remember when Ukraine had his problems with overthrowing a Yanukovych, the president before Zelensky, I believe. And when you were to read online news articles, at the bottom you could make comments. They've done away with that. Frankly, you can't make comments because they can't control them. And, you know, blacks have always complained about, man, they don't never tell our history. They never report on us the right way. Now here you are supporting those very institutions that they was complaining about back in the day.
No, I'm not saying just mainstream news. Look, I don't like what Elon has done with X, now formerly Twitter. But one thing he did do was keep those community notes up. So some of the propaganda that we're getting from the Middle East right now about what goes on in Israel, you'll have reporters and writers and people who research coming in on those community notes and correcting the record in real time. I think that's a good thing. So, yeah, you're right. A lot of sites got rid of notes and letting people make comments.
But that
was because every people time, were bots and starting controversies in those sections. Oh, go ahead, bro.
What they're doing with that also, Nige, is every time, you know, what's her name, Jean-Pierre tells a lie, they fact-check her with those community notes. Every time Biden tells a lie, they fact-check him with those community notes, you know. So, yeah, he's done some very good work on Twitter. And, by the way, Tucker Carlson was all over the thing in 2020 as well.
Tucker Carlson has come out and criticized the Israelis for some of these stories that they put out, these false stories about what's going on over there in Gaza. And we haven't seen him back on Fox or anywhere else, have we? So, I mean, there you go.
Look, I'll say this. When they talk about Nige, when they talk about these stories about, quote, accidentally hitting the schools or hitting the schools, the problem with that is, you know what those schools are? They are terrorist breeding grounds. That's what those schools are in Gaza.
And as long as you believe that, they'll be able to tell you anything. As long as you believe that, they'll be able to tell you anything.
That's exactly what they are. These people that got elected over there, the Hamas got elected into that Gaza government, by the Gazans, they're terrorists. They elected terrorists.
See, now y'all told me I'm the one over here on mainstream news. He's repeating the talking points straight from the Israeli office. You believe it if you want
to. Go look it up. That's a fact. Go look it up on liberal Google.
It's not a fact. It's Israeli propaganda. But believe what you want.
It's a fact. I'm telling you, I've looked it up. It's a fact. I've looked it up in, on the BBC. I've looked it up on, Der Spiegel. I've looked it up on
Did you try Al Jazeera? Yeah, try Al Jazeera. See what they say. It's a little different tone.
I've looked it up on that, too. They got elected. These Hamas people got elected into the Gazan government. Go look it up. I'm telling you.
No, nobody's arguing with you about the election. Yes, they did win an election many years ago. They haven't had an election since. Matter of fact, the majority of the people weren't even around to vote for that election because they have such a young population. But when you have a small space, that little, few hundred square miles when you're talking about the West Bank or Gaza, and your excuse is, well, we're bombing that area because the terrorists live there too. Well, where else would they be? So, yeah, it's ridiculous. And Sarge can speak to some of this because he knows about the tunnels in Vietnam and everything else. And, of course, Hamas has created a similar situation as far as the tunneling system, and they're really good at guerrilla warfare. And that's why they didn't want to go in for a ground invasion, because when it came face-to-face fighting, some of those, right, they didn't want no parts of that, man.
I've seen Hamas leaders publicly express their preference to make the Palestinian people martyrs. They are literally putting them in the front. They are insinuating their headquarters in the hospitals deliberately to make the Israelis have to kill Palestinian civilians. They admit it is part of their asymmetric strategy. Wait a minute, hold on, Nanash. They are admitting to this. Because they think the people should be
mainstream, and y'all just eating all this mainstream drivel up.
No. I have seen the leaders say it. From their point of view, and I'm only looking at it from their myopic point of view, it makes sense because it is an example of what they consider to be asymmetric warfare because they don't have a prayer of standing up to Israelis' firepower. So they are using their people as human shields to negate some of that firepower from their point of view, not from a moral point of view, not in accordance with the international laws of warfare. And by the way, even if you are not representing a nation state, if you wear a recognizable uniform or armband of some sort, if you carry your arms openly, and you answer to a recognizable chain of command, you can be considered a lawful combatant. You're a terrorist when you go after civilians, and you don't follow the rules of law of land warfare when you conduct yourself outside of the bounds of the authority of a sovereign state. So even now, Hamas could wage a war as partisans, and they would be within the bounds of warfare. They're choosing not to because they think the strategy they're using is more effective for their type of warfare and the type of foes they have to face. The firepower of the Israeli army. It's clear what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm not arguing about this anymore. I'm leaving this alone, man.
To follow up with Mike's kind of point of view that they're raising terrorists over there. Okay. Now, riddle me this. On this, okay. Are the Palestinians Arabs?
Semitic people, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Huh?
They are Semitic Arabs, people, directly.
Okay.
They are Arabs for the most part. Absolutely.
Okay. Are they Muslim?
No.
Absolutely.
Are,
no Jews
are
allowed to live in Palestine, not a single one.
No.
By
no,
law,
I...
they're not allowed to live in Palestine.
No, but... Okay. So they're Arabs and they're Muslims, right?
No, correct. That's incorrect. About 30% are Christian.
For the most part. Okay.
Well, that's a pretty big distinction, though.
Now, okay. Forget some of that. All right. Now, with most of them, with the majority of them being Muslim, with the majority of them being Arabs, okay, why is it no Arab Muslim country that surrounds that whole area take them in as refugees? Why have they refused to do that?
Do you know what the Nakba is?
Excuse me?
Have you ever heard of the Nakba?
What is that?
This was what happened previously, where they were told if they went to these refugee camps and these other places after this was over, the you know, whatever little stress was over, they would be able to return to their lands and have their homes again. They were not. What actually happened was the Israelis started to build more settlements and took up more of the land and pushed them out. So this idea that they're wanting to go to other places to seek refuge and give up their land, that's not actually what they want to do. They feel they have a legal claim and historic claim to a lot of that land in that area, and they know the Israelis want to continue to push for more settlements. Again, Israel is the only country that doesn't have declared borders. Why? Because they want to continue to settle that land. This is a genocide you're looking at right in front of your face. And when you talk about what happened October 7th and you think that's the start of the event, what you need to realize is the apartheid system that they have there, where they can't walk down certain streets, they're not allowed to vote in certain elections, they are pulled off the streets and kidnapped and sent into, you know, being locked up over, you know, whatever disagreement they might have with an Israeli. So, I mean, again, you can't just trust what mainstream media is feeding you right now, because we give Israel $4 billion a year. That's our junior partner. It's a very important pivot to us as far as just being where they are in the Middle East. And when you actually look at the story, you can see how Hamas can win an election or Hamas could start to gain some popularity over there because of the hell that those people are put through every day. And the moderate form of them, the PLO, they're not listened to. They go in and try to negotiate. They get nothing. And eventually the other guys say, hey, we're guerrilla fighters. We're going to fight for you. And that's how they get popular.
Hold on a minute. You're talking about the PLO now.
Yeah.
What did they offer the PLO that Arafat turned down? He turned it down. They offered him a whole bunch of stuff.
He's talking about the Oslo Accord.
No, I got something else for you. 2005. I got that for you. What happened in 2005, Nash?
Well, you can go read what Netanyahu said.
Well, wait a minute. Would you just answer the question? If you don't know, I'll tell you what happened in 2005.
Well, you know,
tell your audience what happened in 2005. The Israelis withdrew from Palestine completely. They withdrew all of their occupation forces and left completely the notion of self-governance to the Palestinians. Thereupon, they elected Hamas to be their governing body. And also, the only thing they were forbidden was to exercise international diplomatic relations on their own. That was it. Other than that, they were completely self-governing.
No, they were
not. I'm
not
going to say
who
too
controls
much on
the
this
water?
Because
who
not,
controls the
not,
electricity?
I agree with you on most of what you said.
Yeah, look, man, you ain't got to argue with me. Go argue
with
me.
Well, wait a minute. I just want to know, Norris, do you disagree? Well, do you disagree with anything I just said? Do you disagree with anything I just said? What?
Yeah, because you can't have sovereignty if you're being controlled.
I just said they weren't sovereign. I didn't say they were sovereign.
Oh, okay.
I said they were at least self-governing
as were the American colonies before the American Revolution. We had the Virginia Assembly. We had the House of Burgesses. We had a bunch of self-governing institutions that the British left alone for the most part until they started enforcing the Intolerable Acts. The Israelis left the Palestinians for the most part when it came to day-to-day governance to their own devices.
They controlled not only the water, the electricity, their electric grid, but they also blockaded them from land, sea, and air to where they can't even bring in aid packages.
Okay, you act as though there weren't hundreds and thousands of acts of terrorism that were launched from the West Bank and Gaza. You act as though that just didn't exist.
You act like that didn't
exist. I mean, you act as though it just didn't exist.
All y'all out there, go look up the Knox.
So in other words, you're saying they had no legitimate national security concerns. They had no legitimate national security concerns of which they have to put as a predominant paramount consideration.
I'm not about to have it.
No, I'm asking you simple questions. You're mentioning what you claim are acts of oppression, but you're ignoring the security posture.
I'm just happy that they didn't decide to go to Uganda, because I probably would have went over and helped fight with Uganda.
Well, like I said, they never had much of a chance of passage because it was overwhelmingly rejected at the 1905 Zionist Congress. No Zionists wanted Uganda. They wanted Jerusalem. That's what they wanted. They wanted to return to the land of Israel.
See, that was after the thought was in the head. You got to go by the premonition of the thought that was in the head. The thought was in the head somewhere, and Uganda was one of the places. Theodore Herschel was one of the biggest racists that they ever been. Also, Arthur Balfour. Balfour said that he never could figure out, he never could see blacks being equal to whites. You can't follow somebody like
Herschel
that.
Herschel was definitely against the Uganda proposal, though. No matter what kind of racist he was definitely against going to Uganda. He hadn't wanted no part of that whatsoever.
You airlift Ethiopians in the country, and as soon as the women hit there, you forcefully sterilize some and make them get on birth control.
Very successful because their numbers went up 12 times.
That is some demonic thinking.
There's 12 times more Ethiopian citizens in Israel than there were when they airlifted them. So they went from 14,500 or so to over 165,000 in this relatively short space of time.
But the question is why are you trying to get these women to forcefully take
I do, Nash. I do deny that there was an attempt to sterilize. There was an attempt to make them use birth control without informed consent, not sterilization.
This is a shame.
I got some people out of the bar that would tell you that they sterilize them.
What?
I can't believe Sarge going out like this.
No, just muster your arguments to the contrary. Don't say that I'm making things up, because I'm not.
I didn't say you're making things up. We both
know. No, you're implying it. You're implying it. I don't have a brief. Look, the United States had a sterilization program, and I readily admit to that. In many states in the United States, there was an active sterilization. But why would I deny one in Israel if I thought it was true?
I have no idea. That's what I'm wondering.
Answer is I wouldn't. I have seen no evidence that there was any sort of organized sterilization program for Ethiopian Jews in Israel. The minute I see it and it is confirmed, I will happily change my mind.
Sarge, okay. I'm going to let you talk to some people from Dimona. You know where Dimona, they're trying to get the people out of Dimona who've been there since 67, that black Americans, trying to deport them. I'm going to let you talk to them. They'll tell you about the forced sterilization that was going on with the women.
Question, guys. What is written in the charter for Hamas? What is their goal? What is their goal? From the mountains, from the river to the sea, right?
Now we're doing the CNN thing where you come on and you say, hey, do you condemn Hamas? Like, look, man. If you oppress people, they're going to fight back. Like, that's just, that's natural. It should be expected. Like, there's no need to do this deep introspection about the hands of Hamas.
First off, they never have existed. Not Hamas, but the Palestine as a country never will exist and never
Palestinians,
has existed.
Palestinians been around since the first dynastic period in Egypt. That's the thing that pisses me off. They have existed since the first dynastic period of Egypt. They have.
They only existed.
Lori,
when,
do you hear this? I can't believe
Let me ask you a question. Let's do some Bible history. Was not the land called Cana?
Yeah, I'm hearing
Was not the land called Cana?
They
what happened to Cana in the Ham story that was created in 70? In the Ham story that was created in 70 A.D. at the Council of Jamnia, Ham's first son, Cana, was cursed black. B-L-A-C-K. His hair was nappy. His lips was big. His members was elong. That don't sound like no Polish. That don't sound like no German. That don't sound like no Benjamin Nahum Andrew who went to high school in Philadelphia.
Again, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what happened in about, 65 or 70 A.D. when the Romans came in and invaded Israel. And they flat out changed the name of Israel because they hated Israel from Israel to Palestine. That's what happened. Go read your history book. That's what happened. Okay?
Well, so listen, the first dynastic period is before the Romans came in to Egypt, into that area. It wasn't no Romans at that time.
I'm just speaking on strictly the facts. That what happened came away.
Well, yeah, you're talking about something that was imposed by way of British colonization. You know, some of these arguments make it sound like it never was any black people in Detroit.
No, I'm not saying there wasn't any black people. I'm talking about the term Palestine.
They call themselves Philistines. They call themselves Philistines and Perlusians.
Right. That's old, what's his name, Goliath and all that stuff, right?
Well, that's a myth.
You know?
Goliath's a myth, Abraham's a myth.
I don't think so. But that's,
again,
wait a minute, hang on. If Abraham is not a myth, where's his birth certificate?
And then one person gonna progenate the entire planet. The entire generation of this thing until Israel was declared a nation in 1948. Then you started to see, these people called the Palestinians show up and say, this is our land, all this shit. And it's like, you know, that's when it started. It was in 1948. Okay?
That's when this present method now was created. The people have been there. You think the people that showed up in 1948, where did they come from? Huh?
Look, most of the complaints that the Palestinians, not all, I'm not saying all, most of them stem from the fact that Israel feels compelled to take security measures to ensure as a primary directive and consideration their security against attacks from Gaza. Prior to this current unpleasantness, there were about 4,400 rocket attacks against Israel from Gaza from the years 2017 to 2021. 4,400. There are dozens and dozens of individual terrorist incidents directed at Israeli citizens and foreigners in the region. It cannot be ignored. No sovereign nation could possibly expect it to ignore this. And yes, they are definitely going to perceive as being oppressive by the people against whom they are directed. And in some cases, they actually are. But I can guarantee you they would diminish enormously if Hamas would just give up their determination to exterminate and annihilate Israel and recognize it as a sovereign nation that intends to exist. They refuse to do it. That's why we're at the place we are right now. There's no doubt much of what is done is oppressive. I mean, they literally are posing an existential threat to the citizens in Israel. No sovereign nation is going to ignore this in the manner in which it has done. Hundreds and thousands of attacks launched from the West Bank and Gaza. It is incomprehensible. I wouldn't, if I had a government that wouldn't do something about that, I would have either done something to overthrow that government and replace it, or I'd leave the country. I'd no longer be a citizen. I'm getting to think that way about my own country. I'm trying to think that way about my own country.
The United States shouldn't be giving money to a government that discriminates the way that one does. Hey, if you try to get a government contract, you got to sign into the fact that you cannot discriminate. You cannot discriminate. Americans need to keep their tax dollars in their pocket.
Fine. If they shouldn't be giving shouldn't be giving money to Israel, then they shouldn't be giving the money to Hamas.
Damn right.
They shouldn't be giving money to nobody outside of this country.
They shouldn't be giving.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. Don't give money
either
side.
And all you're doing is furthering a boomerang effect. Money goes that way, then it comes back through these lobbyists that's lobbying for their country and going into your politician's pocket. We talk about how crooked and corrupt they are. You happen to support that.
Now, on that, we have agreement. I agree with that. But all I'm saying is right now, what any nation is going to do. Look, they don't discriminate like this against Syrians, Arabs who are citizens of Israel. They have the same rights as any other citizen of Israel. They are in the Knesset. They are in the Israeli legislature, elected there. And they act as a block to protest actions of their own government. The people in Gaza are not Israeli citizens. Yeah, that's why they say they're being occupied. They could have had full governance authority long ago. But they refuse to recognize Israel as a sovereign state, and they continue to launch terrorist attacks. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, you decide. But there's no doubt about it. All of the conciliation has come from the Israeli side, almost none of it from the Palestinians.
Well, you know, we can say something else. We can say that Cliff McClure, the god of Mexico, promised the Latinos this land here.
Yeah, if they can take it, they come and get it. That's all I got to say to them. If y'all can take it militarily, come and get it. Check us, run us off.
I believe that, but I don't want my tax dollars being used to do what I'm saying it's doing. No, Blaze.
Well, I don't want to give them money either, so I agree with you there. I don't think we should give Israel or Hamas any money to raise this war. If they want to buy weapons from us, let them get over here with cash and a bill.
I don't want my tax dollars being used by anything this United States government is trying to do, period.
Amen.
Even in our own fucking country.
Amen.
There you go.
You're goddamn right.
Agreed completely. I'm getting tired of our other countries' interests being paramount over ours. I'm simply saying a sovereign nation has obligations and a duty to respond to threats. And the threat from the Palestinian Hamas people, even the people who keep electing these crazy people to be in charge of them, is real. And you have to expect any sovereign country is going to do something about it.
Well, you can't say that the people is crazy. They do what's necessary for them to get out of the position that they're in. That's what's going to happen.
I think it's a chicken and egg thing. I think it's just a circular thing that keeps going until they can come to a reconciliation. But my study of this thing, and I've been studying this thing for at least 5 or 10 years, all of the conciliatory efforts always originate with Israel, and the rejection inevitably follows from the Palestinians, almost everything. And I think Ron raised a very good point as to why none of these fellow Arabs anywhere will accept large numbers of Palestinians. They refuse. They remember very well the lessons of the Jordanians who welcomed the PLO into Jordan, has brother Arabs who needed succor. They welcome them. Come on in, your brother. You got a home here in Jordan as long as you need it. And what do? They tried to overthrow his kingdom. He had to kill 4,000 of them and kick their asses out of his country. And the rest of the Arab world sees it, too. They're troublesome. They don't want them either.
Well, that's the same thing with black Americans, Sarge. How many African countries have told blacks you can come on back? They ain't going no place. And some say, if you come back, we're going to sell your asses again.
Well, it's like I said, it's a problem. Look, right now, it appears that the solution is being militarily accomplished for good or for ill. The die is cast. Now this thing's taking on a life of its own, and we just got to see how it plays out. I'm only concerned with what is in the best interest of the United States. That is my only concern.
Well, I tell you, the best interest of the United States, American people, is for America to leave that damn crap alone. All that destruction that's going on, who you think they're going to be asking to repair it? Who you think is going to be asked to rebuild those buildings, those settlements? They're going to want to follow Americans once again. Hell, we broke the broke dick dog. How the hell are we going to afford that?
Yeah, well, you're right about that. I hate to admit it, but you're damn sure right about that, man. They're going to fall it on us as though it's our responsibility, and these stupid policies in here will go along with it.
Hell, you got California saying they're doing away with internal combustion engines. If I'm not mistaken, they burn off of oil. So what's the oil interest? There ain't no interest.
Oh,
it's just a bunch of bull crap.
By the way, have you seen the latest effort from Dodge, this Ram Charger pickup that gets this now? They've got a full complement of an electric motor and all the batteries you find in an EV vehicle. Plus, they've got a 6.3-liter V6 engine, turbocharged, the sole purpose of which, now, why are you waiting for this? Listen to this. It's to charge the batteries. It's a big-ass generator. Can you believe this shit? In order to get around the regulations that this idiotic EPA and this damn-fool, silly-ass administration, Dodge is now figuring they're getting, not by coming up with a hybrid. This is different kind of fish altogether. It's a fucking diesel locomotive, but it ain't a diesel. And it ain't quite a locomotive. It's a big-ass engine, 6.3-liter engine, that sole purpose of which when they run it, it doesn't run the drivetrain. It's not even connected to the drivetrain in any way. It powers and charges the batteries. These people have realized that there ain't no such thing as a free lunch in energy. You know that the rules of thermodynamics still apply, no matter what pie in the dream sky they have. And the only way they keep this thing running reliably so people will want to buy it is to put a huge-ass engine in it that they ought to get rid of all the electric shit and just power the fucking 6.3-liter V6. It's insane.
Well, look at the other aspects. The gross vehicle weight of these electrical vehicles is way much more than a gasoline automobile. So what's going to happen to your roads and your highways?
We know. And
your
bridges.
And wait a minute. What about your parking lots? Your parking lots wasn't designed to carry that type of weight.
I know. And wait a minute. What about the tires that are going to wear out prematurely? All the rubber that you're going to have to make more room ecologically for? These people are insane. And they're governing us. Lord have mercy.
Post-tension parking garages are not designed for that type of weight.
No,
30%. They all be collapsing.
Yeah, the average electrical vehicle weighs 40% more than a comparable internal combustion engine vehicle. 40%! Now, multiply 40% by the same saturation of vehicles you got today. And imagine that 40% more weight in every extant parking garage in the nation. The weight on the structure, the weight on the roads and the bridges. Let's not even talk about what it takes when you got to get rid of the damn things and the 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust that has to be dug up to make just one EV battery. This is nuts.
Right.
And they want to do it all by government edict. By government edict, and we were energy independent just 3 years ago.
Right.
Crazy.
And think about this.
think about this. It took them a while. I mean, remember 1950s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. They were making these big boat cars, right? And they were heavy, heavy cars. They were, you know, 4,000, 5,000, 8,000 pound
yeah,
cars.
Like
the
specials.
Yeah.
Cadillac Fleetwood.
Yeah. Like, okay, so in the 70s, they started figuring a way to make the cars lighter so the engine wouldn't have to do as much work to maybe save gas and all that shit. And so what happens? Now they're with these EVs, they're going in the total opposite direction. They're going with vehicles that aren't going to be very, what's the term I'm looking for, efficient. Right?
Hey, guys, just checking in. Do we still have Naj on the line, or did he drop? Because we are in no man's land overtime now. Just
I
let everybody know.
Here.
Naj, are you still there?
I think Naj dropped. Or did he?
Yeah, I think he had anything to say about it because he knows doggone well we're telling the truth. This electrical vehicle thing is utterly not ready for prime time. They are trying to shoehorn us into it, and the technology is not capable, nor is it mature. To say nothing of the fact that all of the automakers are saying electrical vehicles are costing them tens of thousands of dollars each in loss for each one manufactured.
Hell, some of these vehicles cost $80,000. That's as much as the goddamn house was when we was coming up.
Somebody
turned me on that there's a class action lawsuit to people who were fired due to COVID. When I find the information out, I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I've never seen a bigger scam. A government edict, rather than let the marketplace, because look, electrical vehicles have a niche for certain applications. The market should decide that. And the people who can use these vehicles efficiently for their particular application should be allowed to choose it. And the manufacturers can structure their assembly lines or lose money. But no, we've got a fascist government issuing edicts from their idiotic ivory towers, utterly divorced from reality, science, thermodynamics, and energy density, and just determined to force these inefficient, stupid contraptions on us before they're ready for prime time. It's beyond belief. But here we are.
You want to put companies like Exxon out of business. Look at all the people that depend on Exxon for pensions, old lady pensioners. Look at all the philanthropic moves that Exxon does, not only in the state of Louisiana, but other states too, funding high schools, funding scholarships, and funding other social things that young people need to have done. It's wrong for Joe Biden, the federal government, to try to favor one industry over another, favor one industry over the demise of another industry. That don't make no damn sense.
And like I said, man, I just cannot get over this. They put a 6.3-liter V6 engine in an electric vehicle to power, generate electricity for the batteries. And the selling point for it, well, you got a big-ass inefficient generator that can power your chainsaws and your other electrical appliances and your house. Well, gee willikers, all I got to do is buy a generator for $10,000. I ain't got to spend $85,000 or $100,000 on a goddamn pickup truck. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Jesus. The government.
It's like, you know, remember when Obama did the whole thing with Solyndra and solar energy and all that shit? You know,
yeah.
It's like all that. This is just a redo of that. I mean, that technology isn't ready for prime time either, and neither is this. This technology in our lifetimes, will never be ready for prime time, and probably in our lifetimes. So, again, they're pushing this shit, and it's not ready. It'll never be ready.
But even now, even now, as undeveloped as it is, it still has use for certain people. They can make use of it. It'll fit their lifestyle and their needs. That should be an option available for them without governmental influence. So that way the market can accommodate them and yet still continue to make a profit selling readily available internal combustion engines that run off of energy-dense, plentiful petroleum.
Well, I'll tell you something else, too. This idea of the federal government issuing leases for drilling and exploration of oil is a bunch of bull crap. If oil is found in the state of Louisiana, all that money should go to Louisiana citizens. It shouldn't be going to the federal government where they send it all over to Ukraine and all these other places of destination. That's a bunch of bull crap. Can you imagine that?
Well, it's happening.
How better off would the citizens of Louisiana be if they could put those $1 billion back into their own pocket? Look at Alaska. That Willow Project is going to bring the federal government $11 billion. That money should go to Alaskan citizens.
Bullshit.
Absolutely.
I live
in Louisiana, man. I agree with you.
Bullshit on that Alaska money. Bullshit. We ain't getting anything near what you fuckers think.
That Bill Edwards, that son of a so-and-so, he vetoed every goddamn thing that was put out there that was passed by the state legislature to protect kids. And then you had legislature coming back for a veto session. Some of them didn't show up, and they wouldn't override the veto. What kind of craziness is that?
For what? For the oil money? Bullshit.
Okay.
Just so you know why I'm calling bullshit, I live in Anchorage, Alaska. Bullshit. So all those fucking bullshit stories you've been listening to down there are nothing but bullshit.
Well, I tell you one thing that's not
bullshit.
Well,
set us straight. I mean, if there's anybody, it's close to home for you. So explain it to us, you know.
Yeah, explain that to us.
You know, that's close to home for you. If there's anybody that knows what the hell is going on in Alaska, it's you because you live there. You got skin in this game.
Yep, that's for sure.
They have been trying to take that money away from us. Our legislature has been trying to take that money away from us for years. And we're not getting anywhere near what the formulas were set up to do, which would mean, I mean, we're lucky now to get over $1,000 a year. We used to get 3 and 4.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying. Well, my point is that whether it's $5 or whether it's $25,000, the money still should go to Alaska, not the federal government.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It should.
However, the money, the big money that we're getting is off of state lands. The federal government, you know, is going to take their piece of the pie, too, off of federal lands. Can't drill on anyway. Thanks to Biden.
Yep.
We got another 400 years of oil up here that can't be tapped.
And you know what? Not only on the land, but anything that goes out into the oceans to the international boundaries on either side of the state boundaries, that should go to the states also. It shouldn't go to the federal government. Where in the Constitution does it say the federal government has the right to own land of that type? That's nothing.
The Act of 1877. The Act of 1877. Or 1871.
The Antiquities Act.
No. The Act of 1871. When the federal government became a corporation.